Welcome to CICK News, the only news source in the North truly dedicated to local stories on the ground. CICK News addresses the diverse needs of the underserved communities between Burns Lake and Haida Gwaii through firsthand stories and in-depth interviews. CICK News funding is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially support campus and community radio stations in Canada, as well as the Government of Canada. We are your hosts, Pam Hassan and Dan Messick, and we are on the dial at 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. Our call letters are CICK, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Gitindam territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com, or follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Smithers Community Radio.
Today on CICK News, this evening, Smithers Council will decide on how to proceed with amendments to the Parks and Open Spaces Bylaw number 1951 that would allow for overnight sheltering and camping in many Smithers-owned properties, including many community parks. 2 weeks ago, we brought you coverage of a public forum Council organized to hear concerns from community members regarding the changes to the bylaw and the reason for the proposed changes in the first place. A town-sanctioned homeless encampment on Veterans Park next to the library. The decision made could either designate the current location of the encampment to stay where it is, move it to a new designated area somewhere else, or allow for overnight sheltering in several parks across Smithers. Many of the concerns stem from a rise in break-ins and thefts, which many want to associate with the encampment, but the residents of the camp feel many people have it all wrong. Most people living at the camp are not there by choice. Residents of the camp have now said they didn't even know that there was a bylaw change coming, and if they did, they might have shown up to the forum to speak on their behalf. According to them, no one from the town of Smithers has even asked the camp residents what could help them. 2 weeks ago, at that public forum, a social worker spoke to the group of concerned citizens. He framed up the misconception most people have about the camp. Here are his remarks.
My speaker is Owen Kwanstrom.
First off, I'd like to thank everybody for coming here and engaging in this process. I know it's not an easy conversation for anyone to have. My name's Owen, and I'm a mental health and substance use resource nurse here in Smithers. I work with this population that we've all been talking about every day. Most of you don't. Most of you don't know the people that you're talking about. Something that I ask you to search your hearts for is why someone would choose to start injecting. Why someone would choose to drink a 2-6 of vodka every day. What has someone been through that has caused them to be homeless because they have no other option to numb their pain? That's why people are on the streets. That's why people are homeless. You may have had extreme pain in your lives. Many of you probably have. But you've had the community and the support and people to help you through that pain. Many of the people living in that camp do not have that support, do not have that community around them, do not have people helping them through that pain. There are many people in this room who are recognized from the various Christian congregations in town. I've heard a lot from a lot of people who call themselves Christians in this town, saying that they're concerned about their taxes, saying that they're concerned about dirty needles, saying that they're concerned that this might be a safety issue or an inconvenience or upsetting for their kids. Those aren't the beliefs or the values from the Bible that I grew up reading. Thank you.
Today on the program, camp resident Floyd Heisems and James Kwok about why they live at the camp and what they need to get back on their feet. As well, we'll speak with Phil Balmer, an advocate for the camp residents, about why the town and the community needs to help now more than ever get these folks off the streets. Stay with us. Yesterday, as I walked up to the camp at Veterans Park, I asked someone cleaning up the site if they knew who I should speak to. Almost immediately, a fellow named Floyd Heisems popped out of his tent. He told me that he and others only heard about the public forum about the camp location after the fact, and that no one from the town or otherwise has spoken with him about the possible bylaw change, and that they soon could have to move the location of the camp.
No, they didn't. It is, came and told us that we had to clean up, and so that's the only thing that we knew. But we don't know if we had to move or what's going to go on or how things are going to be working soon. But hopefully one of them will come up someday and tell us what we had to do, or we had to pack up our stuff and move somewhere else. But if that's the case, I'm pretty sure everyone's already comfortable being here at this campsite right here.
I mean, some of the questions was just about, you know, what's going on here at the camp. Like, tell me about some of the residents. How many people do you have living here?
We got probably like 10, 11, probably 12, 12 of us staying here. And everyone gets along here, and there's like basically nothing that's going to go on.
Some people obviously are concerned about, you know, the break-ins and having to move this and, you know, just stuff going on, you know, in the evenings with the camp. But you guys try to keep it, it sounded like Kristen was mentioning that you guys try to keep it clean and, yeah, and try to make sure people are taken care of.
That's what we try doing every day, like keep the camp clean and try to keep everyone up on their feet, like around here, trying to keep everyone safe. And we just do what we can just to survive every day. All of us, I'm kind of like the boss here, but I kind of like look after everyone. And as soon as like anything goes down, I talk to them, tell them like what is right and what is wrong and how to keep trouble away from us or keep people blaming us for stuff we don't even do. Like, I just talk to them and keep them in line as much as I can. Most of us are all basically used to staying here. We got too comfortable staying here.
Yeah, this has been here for a little while now. How long have you been living here?
Going on to 4 years now. Stayed in this one area for a long time. And like a lot of them came along because they got nowhere to stay. And we got a couple new people right there already. Those two tents there. Yeah. And yeah.
So these are folks that have no place to stay, no couch, no relatives. Why do you think they come here to Smithers?
I guess it's like a safe place, I guess.
Like, are you from here? Are most of the camp residents from Smithers, from the town, or from the, you know, the area?
Most of us are, but some of them are from out of town, like Hazleton or Houston, and yeah, I think that's about it. Like, just around those areas.
Yeah. Like I mentioned, people. Townspeople have a lot of concerns. You know, what would you tell people about this place if you could chat with them, if they do have concerns about, you know, illegal stuff or, you know, drugs, boozing? You know, what would you tell them? Because it sounds like you guys try to keep it together pretty well here.
I would just tell them that there's nothing really going on here, but we do, like, we do have a problem with addictions, but we don't, like, do anything, like, bad or anything like that. We keep each other safe. We keep each other like online. Like, we all help each other around here. And there's like what people always saying, that there's trafficking coming around here. There's like no trafficking. There's no drug dealing around here. There's like nothing like that. I know like we're all addicts, but we learn to keep to ourselves and not just go out and go bother anyone. We just stay here. It's just people, how they look at us, like, it's like, I don't know how to say it, but I don't know. It's just hard to, explain how people always judge us and look at us, and, like, it's weird. Like, I know some of the people at the meetings actually, like, talk down on us, saying that there's, like, a whole bunch of needles everywhere and a whole bunch of stuff, like, garbage. Yeah, there was a lot of garbage, but there was like barely any needles anywhere. That's why me and my ex-wife used to always clean up around here, but now it's just me and my friends and family that I call family here. We all help each other keep clean. Even he's not even like my bro right there. He doesn't stay here, and he helps us. Yeah. He helps us clean once in a while. Yeah. We do everything we can to try to change the of people, of how they think of us and how they look at us. We want to look better than what we were before.
People ask, you know,
why can't we help them? You know, why can we get them some help? You know, get them housed. You know, what would you say to that? Do you think you need help? Do you think that you should have your own home, your own house, somewhere to live rather than here in the camp?
Yes, I do want that. I want that for all of us, like everyone in this campsite here. I want all of us to be the best and come from who we were before to someone better, if that's possible. Like, we do need help. We do want help. Some of us are seeking for help as much as we can, but some of them just don't want to help us. But there's few of them that wants to, but they just got no renting or anywhere to, like, get rent for. So that's like a big problem there. Like, they always tell us that there's a lot of renting, but that's like way out of town, and most of us don't want to move out of town. I guess everyone just wants to stay around here, around Smithers, because it's home.
That was Floyd Heisems. Another resident I met at the camp had only been there for about a year, and he was hoping to secure a job soon and not have to spend another winter in a tent.
No one's probably come to talk to you guys, and I'm just curious to hear your thoughts on, you know, how people view this and kind of, you know, why you're living here. What's it like?
It sucks. I wasn't always homeless, but life kind of comes at you really fast. But regardless of, you know, where you're going to put it, we're going to be homeless. And, you know, most of us aren't going to be here our whole life, but, you know, it's not fun regardless. And what they used to do is they used to just, like, chase them around, chase their camp around before there was a sanctioned area where it was okay to be homeless. That makes no sense. It's okay to be homeless here. It's like, you know, it's not a choice, but, you know, they used to chase them around and then just tell them to move on, like the cops or whatever. But, you know, it's kind of cool that you can, like, settle a little bit, because, you know, who wants to, you know, be told to get going when you just got comfortable, you know?
How long have you been here?
A year. It sucks.
Where were you living before?
In an apartment on Main Street. Yeah, I used to have, like, a truck, you know, quads, boat, car, everything. And a trailer in Houston, but...
What happened?
Baby mama issues.
Like, Floyd also talked about, you know, like, rent going up and stuff like that, just not being able to maintain.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that, because I was working in camp last year, so anyone can end up here, you know. Like, I had a good paying job and everything, and yeah, it can all come crashing down.
Yeah. What would you need to get out of here?
Well, this one guy offered us a job or whatever at Seton Mill out over by Passmore Sound. Mm. He said employment for anybody who wants to work, and I want to get out of here. I don't want to be here any longer. Yeah. And I guess he's got a point, though. Like, yeah, you might have a job, but I might still be here, you know, looking for a place, even with a job. So, like, they need more affordable housing here and stuff. Like, yeah, just because everything's, like, $1,200, $1,400 and up. I mean, it's nice, but, like, you need two people for that kind of, you know, on a normal income even to maintain that and have other things. Like I said, a truck, boat, all that. Like, you're not just going to have a truck and a boat and no place to live. Like, or am I going to park that stuff here? You know? You need more than just rent, you know? It costs about, like, $3,000 a month to live the... Basically. You know, mundane life, not, you know, a Silver King, you know, four-bedroom house that's $500,000 a year. Yeah. Plus, you know, I don't know. Yeah, it's just kind of annoying. Yeah. Getting out of here is, like, the hardest part. So, like, if that guy is serious about employment and stuff, that'd be really cool. Cause
was that recently?
Yeah, he actually just came here, like, a couple of days ago. Seton, I think it's called. But regardless, like... You know, people also, like, kind of, once you're, like, labeled here, and if they, like, recognize you, they'll be like, yeah, we'll give you a call, you know, because who wants to hire that homeless person? It's like, if you hire that homeless person, they'll probably get out of here, you know? Like, not everybody here is like a hardcore, you know, wannabe a homeless bum, you know, into the life. It's not like, you know, a niche or anything, you know? It's just sucks that we're here. But.
Have you always lived in Smithers?
Yeah, my whole life. Okay. So, yeah. I don't really have any family, though, to, like, go crash on grandma's couch or anything. So people that have nowhere kind of have to end up here, which really sucks.
This business with the town, so the bylaw, just kind of what you were talking about, you know, just moving to a different spot or having to move, you know, every day rather than keeping it in one location because of some of, you know, the break-ins and the businesses having concern. What do you think of all that? Like, it sounds like this isn't your jam. You just had a, you know, bad run and here you are, right?
Yeah, well, I heard they were going to move it to Dogwood, which is like right beside the high school. I think I'd be kind of dumb because drugs frequent in places like this. Like, it's not, I'm not going to put a Band-Aid on it and say it doesn't exist. It's the reason why a lot of people are here, but like, if you put it right beside a high school, come on, man, that's really dumb. Like, you know, geographically, you should put it somewhere not where there's, you know, kids that are susceptible to becoming this, you know, like addiction and whatnot really is a timestamp that'll lead you here no matter what. But like I said, I used to have a job and, you know, like I shouldn't be here, but you know, life is stupid sometimes. But
has anyone from the town come and spoken to you or ask you, you know, what you guys need or what would be a better situation?
I mean, if you make it any better, they're just going to get comfortable. I see why they don't allow electricity or anything here, because like this is all some people need, you know, a roof over your head. And if you had electricity, there's Wi-Fi here even, like that's pretty, you know, high scale for, you know, homeless. But they took that sign down where we weren't allowed to have any heaters. No form of heat, no electrical, anything. So like everything's like power banks and stuff, so you gotta keep charging them up wherever. And they actually, local businesses have turned off their like electrical output for power sockets and stuff after hours. So like once the business is closed, I think the library does it, the train station does it, CN does it. A municipal place does it. Government building doesn't, but they locked theirs up, and that building does too. So it's kind of like, I mean, I get it, but like, why have an outlet if like nobody's actually allowed to use it? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, I get it if we were just living right beside the outlet, you know, that'd be kind of power thieving or whatnot. But like, it's pretty, pretty clear that they don't want us around here. I mean, local businesses and whatnot, but like, where are we gonna go? Like 20 kilometers into the bush where nobody can see it, you know? It's kind of good that it's actually out in the open too, because like if somebody overdoses, you know, the ambulance can get here right away, or like, you know, they can keep an eye on us. Like they say, oh, local businesses have been broken into. There's a camera right up there by the library that is pointed right at us at all times. When you see us like walking with local business theft, you know, items or whatever, like, it's stupid. Yeah. They're just like, I don't know, anything bad around this area, they'll probably just be like, well, there's a homeless camp over there, so, yeah, it's got to be them, you know? Yeah. So, that's what I mean about, like, having a stamp put on you once you recognize, it's like, oh, there's that homeless guy. It's like, no, my name's James Kwok, but, you know, I'm just a homeless guy now.
I guess, you know, you bring up so many good points, but, you know, there was a bunch of people that came out to this meeting, you know, raised some concerns about all of this. What would you want them to know about the people that are here? Because this obviously is not, you know, a vocation for you, or being homeless is not something that you choose to do, obviously, yeah.
A hobby.
Try it for a week. Well, now they'd probably try it now because it's, you know, a little bit spring. Try it in minus 30, man. It sucked. Like in minus 30 on cold snaps and stuff, where all you have is a candle to keep you warm. It's like, you know, borderline on, like, not okay on, like, a lot of human rights, like, you know, it's almost like, yeah, it's like, I can't believe I live like this in Canada and whatnot, but I guess then they'll say, well, you need to get a job and, you know, be part of modern society and whatnot, but this is part of modern society, you know, like you said about $1,400 apartments. You know, that's, you can't pay for that. Or who here has a job? None of us have a job. I'm not even eligible for welfare yet because I didn't sign up for it. But you only get $600 on welfare unless you get disabilities. But, you know, disability isn't ever known in my books as an additive, like, unless it's about monetary gain. You know, people are like, oh, I got on disability for a little bit more money, but yeah. Like, it's a disability. It's not an addition to your life, you know?
So which means nothing, especially if you want to work. All you need is a job.
And, like, even if two of us, you know, came together and, you know, tried to get an apartment, they're just going to look at your ROE and you're not going to have one. And it's going to say welfare. And they're just going to, no, we don't want your type of people here and stuff. So it's kind of hard, like I said, to get out of it. Like, you either have to get a job for 3 months to get an ROE, you know, and then maybe be eligible for a mortgage, I don't know, but, like, it's impossible to get a place to rent right now, man. Like I said, I'm just gonna have a job and still be here, which is annoying. But I think they built that low-income apartment out at Morristown. You know which one I'm talking about?
That's right, yeah.
But I think you have to be eligible by the band or whatever, but, you know, I have status and that is my band, so maybe I'll be eligible for that, which would work out perfect for that Seton job, but it's all just a waiting game right now.
Well, James, I appreciate your time, man, and good luck with all that.
Thanks, man.
Up next, we'll speak with a community member and an advocate for the camp residents, Phil Ballmer.
My name is Phil Ballmer. I don't live here at the camp, per se. I have accommodations elsewhere, but I have many friends who live here at the camp, and there's been times when I've had no place to stay, okay? And the people in this camp have helped me out, more so than the town has, okay? So what baffles me, what's your name, sir?
Dan.
Yes, we've met some time ago. All right. What baffles me, Dan, is in 1948, okay, the United Nations set out the Declaration of Human Rights, okay? All right, let's talk about that. Now, are we in Canada right now? Because there's like 148 countries, right, out there, including Canada, that recognize the Declaration of Human Rights. And in the Declaration of Human Rights, let's talk about that, all right? Articles 12 to 17 state that every citizen of the countries that are signed on have the right to a certain level of standard with respect to housing. Mm-hmm. Okay? So right today, we're going to have a look at that. When I look through the declaration, I see that people have the right to a certain level of standards within having housing. Okay? We should not be pushing the citizens of Canada out into the bush or out to the garbage dumps or a place where they're not going to be seen. We should have running water. I don't see running water here. Okay? Okay? How often are those clean? Rarely. Electricity in this area, okay, has been shut off. For example, there used to be electricity at the library, the courthouse. The town of Smithers, for crying out loud, has shut off electricity for the parking stalls. Why? Because they don't want the people who are just struggling to feed themselves to have enough electricity to charge their phones so they can get jobs, so they can talk to their family, right? Every week, it seems, the people within this area are asked to move their tents, okay? And lastly, I think about 4 weeks ago, the inhabitants here were bribed. I'm going to say bribed because they were told they would be given food, okay, on an ongoing basis, right? And they would be given clothing in terms of the rain jackets, etc. Rain jackets were never provided, okay? That contract has not been fulfilled. But yet they're asking the inhabitants to continue to push in, right? So that's a secondary requirement.
So hold on, they were. So who first offered this?
As I understand, it was the town of Smithers. So in doing so, I mean, how can people find time to get work, to go look for housing, if they're continually told to relocate their pallets? That takes time. It takes time. And furthermore, when you give people hope that they're going to be fed, okay, they're going to be clothed, right, they look forward to something. So it's just another example in a series of examples where the municipality has not come through with what the bargain was, what the verbal contract was. Okay, so on nights where it's raining, like last night, for example, I'm sure there are people at Tent City who are wet and cold. Okay, was the town or the employees of the town of Smithers wet? I doubt it. Did they have proper clothing if they were outside to prevent themselves from getting wet? For sure. Did the inhabitants of the homeless camp here in Smithers have what they needed? Heck no. Would they have if the town of Smithers had come through with what the deal was? Yes, they would have. Okay? All right. So it's almost like the inhabitants are railroaded every chance the town of Smithers has. The right to housing, occasionally referred to as the right to shelter, is the economic, social, and cultural right to adequate housing and shelter. It is recognized in some national constitutions and in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and International Covenant on Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights. The right to housing is regarded as a freestanding right in the international human rights law, which was clearly in the 1991 General Comment on the Adequate Housing by the UN Committee on Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights. All right, so the United Nations has recognized that people deserve to have housing, okay? So, what is going on? I don't understand myself, Dan. But as I look through right here, the Section 26, Chapter 2, talks about why it's a right. Now, if this was adopted by Canada in 1948, almost 100 years later, why are people in front of me here, you know, just scraping to get by? Why are they begging? Not even begging. They're just asking for a little bit of help. And so this is what I see. This is an example of the town's ability to help them by creating a fence. This fence doesn't keep people out. This fence keeps the inhabitants from coming into town. That's what I see. If it kept them, if it was offered them safety, the fence itself would be totally encompassing the whole area. But what is this fence? This fence is an example of a wall, a bridge, okay, to prevent people from the homeless shelter here from approaching the town. So no electricity, no running water. It's known, okay, that people in this camp, there's people in here that are quite sick. In fact, as I understand it, there's people in here right now that have, unfortunately, I believe diseases. Like there's one or two people in here. Northern Health knows this, okay? There's people in the camp right now have tuberculosis. Northern Health knows this, okay? This is public information. So why would we have people that have tuberculosis in an area that has no electricity, no sanitary provisions? I don't understand, man.
I guess, Phil, if you can tell me what would suffice as a solution to help some of the people here in dealing with this encampment, so we don't have people living in an encampment in Smithers here.
I would say they could follow through on their commitments. Consistency when it comes to providing the people in the shelter, pardon me, in this area, with such things as food, all right? Now, these people want to work. How can you find work if you do not have a place to sleep? Where you have heat, there's a person actually who is here right now in this camp that has second-degree burns on their body and is still healing. Why do they have burns? They have burns because they were trying to heat themselves with a little makeshift propane heater, which is by all means not safe at all to use. And their tent lit on fire. And so as a result of their injuries, they can't work, right? So what they could do is they could provide the people within this area with the tools to be successful in life, okay? Let people know and enable people to have just the sense of sense of confidence that they have a place where they can sleep at night without burned alive, being burned alive. So in the morning, they can go to work. Just little things such as, you know, where can people put the garbage? Okay, they have one garbage can for the entire camp, and it's full. How often are these taken out? I don't know. Where can people wash their hands? Well, I think the library's closed today, is it not? The library's closed today. They can't go there. They can't easily even get into town because of this damn fence that's preventing them from moving forward. With respect to the food, there's food dropped off occasionally by private businesses, which is great, right? The people at Copperside Foods, Petro-Canada, well done. That's wonderful. They help the inhabitants here on an ongoing basis. That's wonderful. Kudos to them, all right? But should we have to depend upon private businesses to help our population, the citizens within our town, our community? No. There's tax money put aside to help the inhabitants of the town, to at least ensure that the town's inhabitants have basic requirements, such as the ability to clean themselves, right? With the washrooms being right here. If we were to walk over to the Portland Loo, would there be soap for one to wash your hands? Yes, there would be, but there's not here, okay? It's disgusting. And furthermore, the police, they should be ashamed of themselves, because I personally have been here, okay? When I've heard the police come through and harass and abuse the population in this area. Why? Because they don't have jobs. That's what I've heard. Well, how can they have jobs when they have no place to sleep at night? You can't go to work unrested or unfed. And if you can't clean yourself, you're going to get sick. And if you get sick, again, how can you go to work? So, I'm just disgusted by that. You know what? I think the town of Smithers should open up their doors and their washrooms to the people in the camp so they can wash themselves. That's a step right there. How about soap? They could provide the inhabitants with soap. So that's a basic step, I think.
That was camp advocate Phil Bomer speaking about the needs of the residents of the homeless encampment at Veterans Park. Tonight, Smithers Council will make a decision on the amendments proposed for the Parks and Open Spaces Bylaw number 1951. The options will be to keep the encampment where it is currently at Veterans Park, to move it to another singular location, or to open up several locations across the community for overnight sheltering and camping. We will bring you an update about their decision later this week. You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.